Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
I was almost asleep when my wife exclaimed, "It's obvious that a male wrote this book." As she closed the book cover, one a publisher had asked us to evaluate. My wife, Darlene, is a pretty low-key individual and cuts an author quite a bit of slack for individuality. "Why do you say that?" I asked. "Well," she explained, "what he says is good, but it's factual and cut and dried. There's no emotion or feeling in what he writes." And with those observations, she clearly defined one of the big differences between men and women. Now, Darlene is an author in her own right. She writes for women and good stuff, too. I often say that she writes gourmet style, agonizing over paragraphs, often in the middle of the night, while I tend to write more fast food style. Every Wednesday, I write the 5 commentaries you hear on Guidelines. Her comments emphasize the point that men go straight to the bottom line, while women enjoy the journey that takes them there, through the emotions and the feelings. The he said and then I said details that are important to women, but not necessarily germane to the final outcome. Men stress facts and decisions, but women are equally as interested in the development of the plot, the blow-by-blow, word-for-word description of the encounter that leads to the bottom line. And that's one of the reasons why men think they have communicated with a woman who shrugs her shoulders and says, "No, you haven't. But I told you what happened," he says. She honestly doesn't think so. The he said, she said dialogue that you think is redundant, mister, is what leads to intimacy in a relationship, instead of the slam-bam, thank you, ma'am style that you use with a janitor or a taxi driver. Today, there's a growing database of scientific information that explains why all of this is true. This includes how DNA is different in men and women, how brains process information differently, how male and female brains are even physically different. Yet vast numbers of men, and not necessarily those in their 20s who are striving to understand the women in their lives, couldn't care less about the developmental structure of the brain. They just know men and women use the same words, but don't communicate and talk the same language. What's the solution to all of this? Consider the following suggestions that will help without much elaboration. For both men and women, set the stage for communication. It never works when you're under stress, when you're extremely busy, when one or both of you are physically exhausted. That's when you tend to hurl angry words at each other, which become missiles of your discontent, rather than your attempts to bridge the differences between you. For you men, realize that your wife can live without the new car, the latest fashions, and the trip to your favorite resort destination. She can live without all kinds of things, but if your marriage is to be healthy and survive, you have to communicate. Understand it means something different to each of you. Realize that you can effectively communicate. You can. Excuses aren't satisfactory. And the longer you take to learn how to do it, the more damage is going to be done to your relationship. For women, when you say, "My husband doesn't get it," you're right. There are reasons for it, however. He's not just difficult or obstinate or dense. He doesn't pick up your nonverbal signals, the importance of registering your sighs on the discontent meter, or what your raised eyebrows say. That means you've got to tell him. Charles Dickens once advised, "Never close your lips to him to whom you have opened your heart." Good advice in every generation.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.